This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning. You're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Shazana Mukhtar, together with Wong Xiaoning.
Good morning. It's a lovely Wednesday, isn't it?
That is right. Wednesday, 24th of November, midweek. But first, as always, let's recap how global markets ended trading yesterday.
Nespresso, bringing you the perfect blend of global market analysis and insights.
So it was a rather mixed day in US. The Dow was up 0.6%, S&P 500 up 0.2%, but the Nasdaq was down 0.5%. Nikkei 225 was actually closed yesterday for a holiday, but Hang Seng was down 1.2%, Shanghai was up 0.2%, Singapore Straits Times down 0.3%, which was exactly how much we fell to in the FBM KLCI.
All right. And for some insights now into global markets, we have with us Jack Kuzi, Director for Strategy at VFS Group in Sydney. Jack, good morning. Happy Wednesday. Now, with the question over Fed succession settled, we know that Jerome Powell is staying in place and the normalization of monetary policy soon to come. What does this mean for expensive tech stocks that have benefited from the flow of cheap money over the last few years?
Good morning, ladies, and happy hump day to everybody out there. It's been an interesting week, an interesting couple of weeks for growthy tech stocks. It's good to see that Jerome Powell's got his second term. I think that's really good for markets in the long term. And then the question remains, you know, what happens to these expensive tech stocks? Look, I think when you look at companies like Zillow, Teladoc, to some extent, Zoom, you know, these valuations were way, way, way stretched out. And they were trading at multiples that, you know, were quite ridiculous. And I think the market's starting to realize that and has realized that in the last 3 to 6 months. So these companies, if you want to call them work from home stocks or what they are, they will be the losers out of any normalization of monetary policy. But just when investors start looking at growth stocks, not just as a blanket growth stock, but start looking at the businesses underneath it. So I think those companies or those type of companies will continue to see, I guess, the error of the market. Where I believe it started to get it wrong, let's call it what it is, some of these high growth stocks have been really hurt. Where I believe the market's got it wrong to some extent, and I believe there's an opportunity for investors here, are in areas like your fintech. So companies like Square and PayPal, I believe, are starting to get at areas where they're buy territory. The other sector that I would look at that, again, is being punished because of this normalization and inflation that's coming through is your cybersecurity. So your Zscalers, your Okta's, these companies, which I continue to believe will benefit from long-term trends in the market. So definitely a reckoning for some of these higher growth stocks. I think we're still going to continue to see that into Christmas and the early months. But there are some valuations here that I think are starting to come into some buy territory for me.
Okay, and staying on tech, but old school tech, Jack, because I'm going to be talking about Dell and HP. Their results came out last night. Revenue beat expectations for both these names due to strong PC demand. Are you a bull on these names, or do you think this will wane as everybody goes back to work?
Again, I think when you talk about this old school tech, I think Dell and Cisco and the likes have benefited from this, you know, work from home. I still believe you're going to see a mixed work from home going into the office area. And I think it's PCs is a big one, but software is still going to be a big player for them and their security systems that they provide. So, you know, we've been going back to the office now for the last 6 to 12 months, particularly in North America and Europe. So if we're going to start to see a softening in those earnings, I think we'll just start to see them already. So I still think they're a great play. And I think they're part of any tech portfolio. So, yes, I think those type of old tech companies, IBM's another one I think will start to do better in this type of environment, are ones to hold in this environment.
Yeah, but what about the global chip shortage, though, Jack? I mean, it's still ongoing, right? How do tech companies overcome this, even here in Southeast Asia?
Yeah, it's a tough one. I mean, the global chip shortage is simply a global shortage. I mean, we're starting to see some elements of that starting to get out of it. I bring up XPeng, which is a Chinese EV maker, which, you know, beat on deliveries and forecasted that they would beat on deliveries. So, you know, that chip shortage in that area is starting to ease to some environment, and some of the car makers have already started to do so. So We've had a chip shortage for a quite long time. We've seen a ramp up in production for some of these companies, you know, in Q1, Q2 this year and earlier before that. This is something that's unavoidable. It's something companies are going to have to overcome. And I think pricing power will do so. You know, I think they'll increase prices is one way they'll get over that. And I think you're starting to see a stacking of inventories anyway. So while we're going to continue to have to deal with this over the oncoming months, I still believe we're going to start to see some of that easing, particularly in quarter two, 2022.
All right. Do you see the Chinese electric vehicle makers? You mentioned XPeng. Will they all be able to weather the chip shortage into 2022? Do you think? Do they have the stockpiles?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, sorry to cut you off there. And I was just jumping on the question. Their report was quite good today in terms of deliveries. You know, they did talk about robo taxis, which I still think is a bit of a pie in the sky area. The Chinese are infamous at stacking inventory, and there was no doubt that they were stacking chip inventory leading into COVID and out of COVID. So I think in terms of Chinese EV makers, I think they've got enough chips on hand. I think their biggest issue when you talk about Chinese EV companies is competition from each other. In order to start to expand overseas, which is what, you know, the likes of BYD and NIO and XPeng want to do, they have to dominate their local market first. And that's the real struggle amongst these Chinese EV players. So there are many of them outside the big ones, and dominating your local market is their first big hurdle that they need to overcome. Now, we've started to see some amalgamations, some forced amalgamations from the Chinese government. I think that's going to be a good thing for them long term. But in the short term, their biggest issue is each other and who's going to win that Chinese domestic market from a Chinese EV market. And that's going to be very competitive, which means it's going to bring margins down, which I think will hurt their earnings in the long term, in at least the medium term. That's the biggest problem for Chinese EV makers at the moment, not chip shortages. And I think XPeng showed us this morning.
One last question from us, Jack, and that's actually about Xiaomi. Their numbers came out. They had a slower third quarter growth due to intensifying competition and I think supply chain issues. Do you think this is going to be a persistent problem for them, or is it just due to the very competitive environment that they can't seem to overcome?
Yeah, look, I think if you want to talk about overarching tech regulation, I think Xiaomi would probably be one of the benefiters from it. I mean, they've done a very, very good job of jumping into the Indian market. They're the largest Indian phone sales. Increasing competition is just the nature of the game in this in this cell phone. So in terms of cell phone sales, I think you're going to start to see that plateau off. It's very hard to do what they've done in the last couple of years. And they have been an outstanding company that's very well managed. I think the silver lining for something like Xiaomi is in its Internet of Things division, right, which is continuing to grow. So I think they're going to start to see some upscale in there. This has been a standout company that's done really well despite what we've seen in Chinese tech areas. Will they continue to see the growth, particularly in emerging markets? Probably not, only because of that outstanding growth. So I think the value comes in them improving their margins. I think it's a wait and see. But what I will say about Xiaomi, it is a standout company that's building a very, very good eco center across many industries. So one to watch and one that I've held for a long time and one that I will continue to hold in the future.
All right, Jack. Thanks as always for the chat. That was Jack Kuzi, Director for Strategy at VFS Group in Sydney, talking to us about how the trends look like for tech stocks, you know, giving his thumb of approval for Xiaomi.
He's still a tech bull.
For the long term, yes.
I think he still likes tech very much, be it software, be it hardware, be in the US or even in Asia. But for those who are interested in Xiaomi, actually, our colleague Koo Soo Chuang spoke to KM Leong, who's the general manager for Southeast Asia for Xiaomi International, just last month on The Breakfast Grill. You can catch that on our app or on our website.
That's right.
It was quite a revealing conversation. And yes, it's a very competitive environment. Everyone's watching them. I think they all want to be number one in the world, but not so easy, especially since Apple is still there.
That's right. That's right. And not to mention the fact that with all the tech, with all the regulatory uncertainties in China, I think everyone's watching very closely to see how it might impact players like Xiaomi. So far, they haven't been impacted too much, but you know, the net could grow bigger. We don't know.
Yeah. But looking at a sector that perhaps it hasn't done so well compared to tech, because, you know, we saw results coming out from Dell and HP last night, which beat expectations. Retailers in the US didn't do so well. So Nordstrom came out with numbers that were below expectations. And even Gap, their shares actually fell 15% after market close. They saw millions in sales lost due to delayed product shipments, and they've actually cut their full year outlook. So not such good news for them, actually.
Not such good news, especially in the run-up to the Black Friday sales at the end of this week. I think usually this time it's a really great season for retailers, but there are a lot of headwinds, what with the supply shortages, the clogging of ports, retail's not having the great season that they expected.
I think there's still this, you know, I would say this push and pull between brick and mortar and online, and whether companies can transition fast enough and have both offerings that, you know, meet every kind of customer demand. That's going to be the challenge while keeping costs low.
Nespresso starts your morning right together with the Morning Run, bringing you the perfect blend of global market insights with expert guests.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.